In Matthew 28, as Jesus instructed, he asked them to make disciples of every nation in verse 19, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, according to the King James. Teaching them to observe all things. Verse 20, I have commanded you, lo, I'm with you always, he says, till the end of the age. And we said, the discipleship requires consistency, dedication, faithfulness. I said faithfulness is loyalty, where you express a deep conviction at an instruction. You know, if you are, I can give you an instruction. Say, every morning, ensure that you empty the waste bin, and you do it out of diligence. Then you can also have the conviction that the waste bin ought to be empty so that the house is not dirty. That's conviction. And so that's loyalty and faithfulness. Where there is no conviction, you cannot have loyalty. You're either going to have hypocrisy or manipulation. Where it's just a matter of doing and not conviction. That is why conviction is important. Is conviction that will drive you to now count the cost. That's why he says, if you put your hand on the plow, Luke 9:62, and you look back, you are not fit for the kingdom. So there's conviction to it. Conviction is why a man will pass through suffering and he's rejoicing. Because he's convinced that suffering is a fellowship in the sufferings of Christ. But if he thinks it's a negative thing, that maybe he has done something wrong, or if God has called him to ministry, why should that happen? You know, then he's not convinced. And so, he can't have loyalty. That said, and in the last session, we began to look at how, as ministers of the gospel, we are ministers of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 6, it says we are able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. It says we are not sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who has made us, verse 6, able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, he says, but the Spirit gives life. So, you are a minister of the Spirit. You said earlier on in 1 Corinthians 2:1, Paul says, when I came to you, I came not in the excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, and determined not to know anything among you except Jesus and him crucified. For I was with you what weakness, trembling, and fear, and my speech and preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but with the wisdom of spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So, you are a minister of the Spirit. Difference between you and somebody who entertains or motivates is that your work is supernatural. Salvation is a supernatural work. The gospel is called the power of God, Romans 1:16. The communication of the gospel is called the power of God, 1 Corinthians 2:5. 4 and 5. So in other words, it shows you that you are different from a politician that wants to woo people on the campaign ground. No. Your work is not in the excellency of speech. It's in the message itself. And it's communicated in power. Christ came by the Spirit. He lived by the Spirit. He died by the offering of God. Romans 8:32. He was given by God. Romans 5:8. By the Holy Ghost. He was raised by the Spirit of God. Romans 8:11. Romans 6:4, 5, 6. As Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we should walk in the newness of life. So, if it's a message of the Holy Ghost, it must be preached the same way. Therefore, we said in the last session, you must know. Let me use the term, loosely. I don't like to use it, but the secret of your fervency is the Holy Ghost. Not by might, not by power, said the prophet. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6. But by my Spirit says the Lord of hosts. So, you and I must have an unreserved, unapologetic stand about the spirit element of ministry. I said this in the evening. Let nothing you do in the ministry be devoid of the power of the Holy Spirit. I remember having to speak to some of you because I've been involved in different units in churches. I've served in the ushering department. I've served in the cleaning department. It's covered that when Pastor Larry was talking to me, I began to laugh when he said that when we have camp, people want to preach, we get them to go and wash toilets. It was actually an example of mine and my friends. I think it was in the camp of 94. We had just had one beautiful meeting like that, and we were doing man of God to wait for the camp, and then, of course, they wake people up to clean. But because we were apostles, we just slept. So they woke us up, so nobody touched us, because they believed that the apostles are sleeping. Don't wake them up, don't try to wake them up. So he came himself. I said, why are you sleeping? We looked at him and said, you can't wash toilets. Come on, go to the floor with all our grace, glory, and power. As I began to grind what not. Do you understand? So, basically, the truth is, I'm involved in those kind of things. We do ushering, I've been involved in technical, I've done all that, all the protocol, I've done it before. But I observe something. Particularly those who are not involved in preaching, maybe they are into security ushering, they think their work is natural. So oftentimes they can get edgy, touchy, carnal, bitter. They raise their voice in the ushering department. You only will find those in the, of course we don't have such departments in church here, but when you find people in prayer departments, it's not likely they raise their voice because they are involved in prayer. But when you are in security, where you are more in surveillance, vigilance, you are likely to get edgy, touchy, carnal, you strive, and all that. Or you are in a department that counts money. And then you count it out. So, no, it's 50,000. So, no, it's 49,500. So, it's worth. You tell a brother of Jesus Christ, don't you have eyes? You know, you just get edgy. I counted it 3 times. If I go and ask about me in the bank, if I count money once, even CBS says that is the amount. So you can get edgy. So I often counsel, there's nothing you do that does not require that you be full of the Holy Ghost. Look for among yourselves, Acts 6:3-7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So, I want to challenge us. I want to put it across to us this evening. As we gradually round up this year's Workers' Convention, I want to give you God's word. Call it the word of the Lord at this convention. Having heard the things we heard last night, this morning, this afternoon, this evening, hear this one very well. The word of the Lord to you. Keep it supernatural. That's the word. Keep it supernatural. Your salvation is supernatural. The indwelling of the Spirit is supernatural. The love of God in your heart is supernatural. Your identification with God in Christ is supernatural. Keep it that way. Keep it supernatural. Keep your service supernatural. There's a tendency to resort to the senses. A tendency to be logical. A tendency, I know, human beings have a way they go into an extreme. Oftentimes, people don't know how to hear things well. I'll give you an instance. For example, let's look at getting married. At the time you believed that all you needed to do was fast and pray, and you see a sister. You see her name, and so on and so forth. And then, because somehow people started having challenges in their marriages, when they married that way and all that, some people came up and said, no, it is he that findeth a wife, finds a good thing, and obtains favor from the Lord. I even have somebody who said that the only wife God gave a man was Eve. And because of the problem Eve gave to Adam, God gave man the responsibility. I know things like that are sweet to hear. Say, so, you sit down, make up your mind, have your, and it's true. Because you have the part to play, it's going to be your responsibility. Along the line, people removed that supernatural element of being led by the Spirit of God, praying over it, you know, things like that. It was thrown out of the window. So it was now a case of, let's date, let's go out, let's try it out, whether it works. Totally worthy. When a man does that, he removes the supernatural element of his life. Again, look at another one. You got a job opportunity. You are brilliant, intelligent, you are savvy in whatever skills you have, and then somehow you refuse to see it as a reason to pray and seek the Lord whether you should take it. You know, it's on the face of it, yes, it's an opportunity. You should embrace it. Go for it. But are you aware that the moment you step into the call of God, discipleship, the ministry, every decision of yours is a cost or indecision? The more reason why you have to keep it supernatural. Even though it's a natural thing, but keep it supernatural. Keep it that way. Keep it supernatural. There are many things that the natural defies. Look at sickness. You would contend for the word, oh, quote 1 Peter 2:24, by stripes I'm healed, before any explanation that's touching the contextual meaning of that scripture. And you will be like, no, God's power is available for my healing. God's power is available to heal my body. Of course, you had a few faith accidents, so that you believe for a miracle for healing, but the malaria tied a bit more, this one tied a bit more. There's someone told you, no, there's common sense to these things. Naturally, you will just tend to that immediately. And so out of the window was a supernatural element to healing and your well-being. So you have to be very cautious. Because something Pastor Christopher Akilume said one time, bless me, and I also say it. He said, you are only criticizing miracles because you don't need one. The moment you need a miracle, you will criticize it. And that's the truth. But you need to wait to need a miracle to keep it supernatural. No. No. So, make a practice of keeping the supernatural always around you on virtually every issue. Keep the supernatural around you. You are born of the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 8 says, though the flesh cannot please God. Verse 1 says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, that was weak through the flesh. God sent his own Son, like in a sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the Lord may flow in us who walk under the favor of the Spirit. So, by the fact of our salvation, we are called those who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. It says, those who are of the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Those who are of the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. It says, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded is death. It says, the carnal mind is enmity towards God. It's not so good, Lord, but that can it be? So those that are in the flesh cannot please God. But he says, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Verse 9, if so be that the spirit of God dwells in you, if any has not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. By the virtue of redemption, you are in the spirit. He says, therefore, Christ be in you. The body is dead to sin, the spirit is life to righteousness. If the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead was you, he that was could not put a body by his spirit that works or dwells in you. It says, brethren, therefore, we are debtors not to live after the flesh, for if you live after the flesh, you will die. But if you through the spirit modify the deeds of the body, verse 13, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, verse 14, they are the sons of God. He says, we have not received the Spirit of glory again to fear, verse 15, but the Spirit of adoption hereby we cry, Abba Father. So the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So, by the virtue of redemption and a new birth, you are identified supernatural. So keep it supernatural. Keep it supernatural. It's not in your past. It's not in your former days. It's not in your younger days. It's in your now days and in your to come days. Keep it in this. Keep it supernatural. Keep it that way. Keep it supernatural. Keep it that way. Don't trade the supernatural element of your life for anything. Don't. Remember, the value of God's kingdom are lives. God's reach to lives is by spirit. And the way you will do the job well is by spirit. I remember one time, myself and we had this long discussion over 2 days in Ibadan. Myself and my friends back then. And we were trying to look at pastoring. I remember Larry Alamuso said something. Pastor Larry Alamuso, we call him Bishop then. He said, there should be a difference between a school principal and a pastor. He said there should be a pastor should not live by data, records and research like a school principal. He said, a pastor must pastor supernaturally. There should be certain things or many things he will know by the Spirit. I learned to pastor supernaturally. I learned to know things supernaturally as a pastor. Always know that when you are discipling people and you have oversight over their lives, there is an access you have by the Holy Ghost into their lives. So, that is a fact. There are people, even here now, that are practically by the Holy Ghost bailed out from a lifetime of mystery. Sometimes a phone call. Sometimes just a statement. They wonder, he just knew what I was about to do. And I won't tell you anything. And this dates back to the very early years. That's how we need to do. That's just the realm. That's the way to go about it. That is the way it functions. That's the way it goes. That's the way. I mean, I was talking to the pastors. We were talking to CBFC, Campus Bible Faith Conference. In fact, I told Dr. Lamina this year we'll do this, and I saw there was a need. We bring people together and all that. That's the easiest for us to do. If we call for Campus Bible Faith Conference next week, the whole will be healed. Am I right? Mm-hmm. So I said, we're going to do that. I told him the date and all that. But that is like acting like a principal. But in the place of prayer, just praying, being someone that, grew under Brother Hagin, for example, I just knew I was washing my feet with socks on. Every time I thought about that, because every time we have a meeting, I pray a year ahead of any meeting. I take time. I just pray a year ahead, and I ensure there's a meeting, for example, I ensure that at least a week I do 3-4 times prayer. And we also have what you call your prayer list. I think you heard it today. So you know where it came from. You have your prayer list, things you pray for at certain days of the week. I just mean something's wrong. It's not that there's anything bad in doing. In fact, at that point, some people are now
sending their testimonies to me. Sir, we are really waiting. We are eager. We are eager. My life was changed at CBF's you. Sir, I remember it was at CBF's. You know, that's pressure.
I just smiled. No. Let's be slow.
Just, we are really waiting. In fact, somebody wrote me. He said the entire joint campus fellowship that they are willing to host. I said, no, we are doing the delay. I said, sir, we don't mind. It is a part. I mean, and there was a lot of eagerness. I said, no.
And so, just that slowness, just praying. Sometimes you won't get it the first day. Sometimes it's not the second day. Sometimes it's not the third day. Don't be in a hurry. Sometimes it's not the third day. Sometimes it's not even the second month. Sometimes it's the third month, the fourth month. And I was looking at the date like this. And the more I prayed in the Holy Ghost, the more I knew we needed a direction about it. So, in praying about it, I said, I know what we should not do. And I told the pastors. So, you are different from the president of the nation. You follow the leading of the Spirit. You are not following results. You are not following what works. You are following how you are led. Not results. Not what works. Supernaturally. So, you keep it supernatural. Always know that in the work of the ministry, in order of priority, there is a natural. We meet in a place. We fix the time. You know, that's a natural. We bring our Bibles. That's natural things. Always put the Spirit above natural planning. Always know that whatever you decide to do in the natural can be altered by the Holy Ghost. Have a culture of being open to such leading. Those of you who are in Leadership Sales Community Church, whether you are LMA, by the virtue of LMA, you are a leader. Many of you do not know that when somebody is in LMA, is your leader. Even if the person is younger than you, and you are in Lagos, Yaba, Owe Street, where I'm pastor, somebody is somewhere in, maybe somewhere, and is younger than you, is your leader. He's not a leader in that, he's a leader in Sales Community Church. That is how to reason. And then you are there. All of you who are leaders know, I often tell you are here. I will ask you in your town, in your city, what is God telling you? Am I correct? I said, what is God telling you? I'm not there. You are the one that is there. You are the one that prays about the place every day. You are the one that you see people every day. And you should follow your spirit or the Holy Ghost. If you don't know how to listen to the Holy Ghost and be led by the Spirit of God, you should not be a pastor. You are a mistake in pastoring. You know how to be led by the Holy Ghost. So, there is that place, since Community Church, virtually all we do today has its inception by the leading of the Spirit. And so we must keep it supernatural. Stay in that realm. Just in that realm of being led by the Spirit. Not being led. Sometimes you want to go and preach somewhere and just know where to go. I remember what year was it again? I think it was year 2000. I was supposed to preach somewhere in Lagos. In fact, the previous month, I taught there at the Faith and Life Seminar. Somebody who was crippled had walked. And the brother of that person, remember the story, brought 35,000 naira. Year 2001. 35K was a lot of money. And he said, this is my salary, sir. Every month, I will be giving you the entire salary. I collected the first one. The second one came, but the third one I felt, I said, man of God, the two is enough. Treat is too much. You keep it. Of course, the first one came in handy because I made a pledge in one church like that. As it came, I gave the pledge. So, it was a good place to go back and preach. But the Saturday
I was just praying in the Holy Ghost, and I just said, I'm not going. Was it Saturday evening on the Monday, Sunday morning? Was that Sunday? I was just praying the Holy Ghost, I said, I'm not going. I said, I'm not going. No, I'm not going. Just, you know, I mean, I thought about it. I said, I'm not going. That was the evening of the bomb blast. The service in Lovington. Was even on the bomb blast in Lagos. And interestingly, as the head bomb blew, Blair scattered like it was the fall of Jerusalem. So I didn't go. The interesting part about that particular one was, in November, October, November 2001, we had this Holy Ghost meeting, we prayed, we had done a fasting for a few, I thought, supplication and prayer. And we had done a lot of fasting, and I spoke about the Holy Ghost. I said, that which happened in America, where bombs went off, something similar will happen in Lagos, at the turn of 2002. It was written somewhere. Was that year? We also spoke about the Holy Ghost. And we're accurate on the attempt on the life of the Attorney General. It's all written. Was that year? A couple of things. Some preachers were fighting in Nigeria, and I don't want to mention their names. I said it by the Holy Ghost. There will be two ministers fighting. Written, documented. By the Holy Ghost. I seen function like that, but I don't say publicly again. I said, look, by the Holy Ghost, this is going to happen. Many of you were here when we said there was a strange disease that will enter Nigeria. Who was there in that service? Who was in the service? That will stop in Lagos and will not spread. That was the year that Ebola entered Nigeria. We said in that service. So it will come into, it will stop in Lagos, it will not spread. I think that's how we prayed about it. We prayed about it. Just said about the Holy Ghost. It's just in your midst. When you have such oversight, you will know. And that day I didn't go for that meeting. And so, by the time I found out, I said, oh. Interestingly, something funny happened. As they started the service, they were waiting for me because there was no phone. I couldn't call anybody, so they were waiting. So as the service started, they just said, Boga, Boga, Boga. It's an evening service. Boga, 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 Boga. The pastor had bailed out. The assistant pastor just said, God just told him, just said the boys, stay where you are. Interestingly, over half of the congregation had bruises. Pastor inclusive. Be led by the Holy Ghost. Always know it's part of the ministry. Be led by the Holy Ghost. It's part of what you would know things supernaturally. You should know things supernaturally. Keep it supernatural. Keep it supernatural. So, what did we say is in the life of a disciple? Consistency, continuity. What does it mean? Continue praying in the Spirit. Anything you see in the Spirit, do it all the time. Pray in the Spirit always. What did I say? You didn't say that loud enough. Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Romans 12:2. Continue standing in prayer. Colossians 4:2-3. Same thing. So you are consistent praying in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit regularly. Let most of your responses be supernatural. They hate you, love back. They're angry at you. Be self-controlled back. There's turmoil all over your office, all over your family. The peace of God that passes all understanding guides your heart and mind. Where is the peace of God? Philippians 4:6, 4:7. Where is the peace of God? Is the fruit of the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit always. Walk in the Spirit always. Be open to know and see things by the Spirit. Be open to know and see things by the Spirit. There's nothing that we are doing today we didn't say years ago. In fact, there are prophecies we have spoken that were timed. I recall Bokola reminded me of one day we were praying in Lasuwepe campus. I was praying, and he said, 10 years from now, 10 years from now, and that was 2016. So, learn to be open to think of the Spirit of God. In doing that, you will pastor well. You listen to what I'm about to say. You see, whatever you do with one, you do with two. I think we have seen that so far. It is just two people. Practice the things of the Spirit. If you are intense in praying for people regularly, listen to what I'm about to say. Very often, God will drop facts in your heart about them. How you will know that you are conscientious about those under you is that you will know things about them supernaturally. Now, I'm not asking you to now begin to witch on people, God told me. No. It's not for that purpose. When I was younger, I used to do that. In fact, people used to be very scared around me at some point. No. It's oftentimes a tool for you to know how to handle people's lives. There are times like that by the Holy Ghost. I will hear conversations of individuals. I hear it often. I'll just hear conversations of individuals. What this one says to that one. I just hear it. Sometimes like that, I will see like this very plain. Why? It's within my work. It's within what I'm doing. Does it happen all the time? No. Does it happen? Yes, it does. So, there will be instances you will know things. Now, the more mature you are, the more quiet you are. You rather deal with it. I now agree to handle it by the way of counsel. A rebuke, an exhortation, and then, you know, getting around the people often. It always helps. But know that part of your work is to see things and know things by the Holy Ghost. Part of your work. I said, I want to repeat the comment of my dear friend. There should be a difference between a school principal and a pastor. Supernaturally, and the pastor. You pray in the Spirit. Also, you depend on the power in the Spirit to heal the sick. To raise the dead. I remember somebody spoke to me and said, oh, Saul was right there on a bed that was a person close to die, just recently. And he sent the picture. This is just personal. I prefer you don't send the picture. People like to send the picture to show you the gravity of what they are trying to say. So I just saw it. I said, okay, I'll just stand in faith and pray. I just spoke words by the Spirit of God. I said, I just knew that the power is in the Spirit. I wasn't fasting, I wasn't doing anything. I said, in the name of Jesus, picked the phone and spoke to the person on the bed. That was last week. I said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. You get up from your bed and walk. I just said it by the Holy Ghost. It was the next day. The guy got up and started walking. Now, what I'm saying is, the power is in the Spirit. That's all. And it's released by words. So, oftentimes, there's something people say, and we have to all be careful. They say the farther you are from a minister, the better you receive from him. Well, that ought not to be so. When Jesus said the power of God without honor, except in his own household, he wasn't telling you an instruction. That therefore, in the name of Jesus from now, a prophet is not without honor except in his household, so you must do it in Jesus' name. That's not what he said. He only made an observation of unbelief in his own town. You and I can choose not to practice it. Is that very clear? There's power in the Spirit. Now, why is it that for some of us, We seem to lose the edge of those things. Let me say this. You see, there is always a competition for our attention. As we get more into the world, there are desires that may upset your desires. That is why when you were younger, it seemed like you were, as they say in the world, more anointed. You were just more anointed. You were just, the reason was, your desires were few. So you could focus on certain things. But in the pressure of life, riches, marriage, suddenly you started seeing the allure, the beauty, by the way of videos, commentaries, friends, or things like sex, money, pleasure. They developed a strange appetite for movies, music. You know, something that wasn't part of your past. You said, and you were not comfortable, you know, just music. What is happening is that your attention is divided. So, because whether it is sin or righteousness, the flesh or the things of the spirit, everything works with desire. And you cannot desire the things of the spirit and the flesh at the same time. So, just like we have been saying, you put your priority. You ensure that legitimate fleshly desires do not overwhelm spiritual desires. Is that basic? Is it wrong for me to have leisure times and then I watch a movie or two? But when I start watching movies every day, I start, you know, knowing which is the latest movie. Any latest movie like that, you are looking for it voraciously to watch it. Something is wrong. Christians don't follow Vogue. What's in Vogue? Christians sometimes can deliberately not wear what is in fashion, just to prove our independence from this world. When you see a Christian, latest wristwatch, he has it. Latest hairstyle. I see some people that say, I don't need to be told that I'm a serious Christian. The latest hairstyle is on your head. Latest fingernails, your leg. Latest nose ring, your nose. I don't need to be told. You are not doing fine spiritually. No. You are not. You see, the Christian life observes to cut back conservatism. You don't just give your whole attention to it. That every party, all of a sudden, extreme desire. I know what I'm saying, eh? You are used to, you know, just prayer meeting, Bible study, prayer meeting. Of course, some of us are, interact with the world too now. Which is true. And then he said, attend people's weddings and parties and naming ceremonies and so on and so forth. Hang out with former classmates. So you go. He just said, hey, everybody's just free. And he said, this is life, man. And they're not giving. They said, yeah. I said, And he just liked the fact that, you know, people are just free. They are old classmates. They are having a GMO in Las Vegas. And they are born again people there. I said, that's even the guy. Yeah, I serve as the head of my Pentecostal movement, my pastor. I said, everybody has something good now. I said, yeah. But the next week, what is the sequence? So many people are under IV. It's what's that coming like a mighty rushing wind. And then you say, hey. Then, it's not the Saturday alone. We now have those for Friday evenings. Tuesday. It's coming for something. Then that pursuit of the things of the spirit that causes you to fast every Tuesday and Thursday will break down. That thing that makes you that you cannot drive that listen to a teaching. You know how you were in your younger days, you pray in tongues on a tape and play it. Who has done it before? Aha. Just be playing it. Now, if it doesn't look attractive again, you rather listen to a song. You know, in those days we used to say, if you buy, let me tell you the ratio. If you have 5 Bible teachings and 1 song, you are backslidden. If you have 10 Bible teachings and 1 song, Maranatha and Hosanna in those days, you are backslidden. We said the ratio is 20-1. So if we get to your house and we see, okay, let me, the moon, Graham Kendrick, they will ask in the middle, Kenneth Hagin, say, you have lost it. Because listening to a song does not demand any much attention. But the word requires meditation, and so on and so forth. That's just how we thought. So, what can compromise your attention? That unbridled desire, uncontrollable desire, is coming at a price. Remember, pray always. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. That means this must be your constant appetite. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, verse 18, 4-5. But this is the will of God for you, Christ Jesus. Then, verse 19. It says, despise not prophesying, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. He says, prove all things, or experiment all things, hold fast to that which is good. Look at the sequence. Pray, give thanks. In your prayer, despise not utterances. Quench not the spirit. It's an attitude that you must wear to keep you supernatural in what your desires. Let me say this. You see, whether you like it or not, life is supernatural. If you abandon the power of the Holy Ghost, woe betide such men, God forbid what I'm about to say, you will now be going to men to help you to do what you are doing for others. You will now need somebody to pray for you. You now need somebody to hear what God is saying from something that was a practice of your Christian life. Keep it supernatural. Keep it that way. Keep it supernatural. Remember somebody who was led into a wrong marriage because somebody said he saw a vision. I said to her, I said, you see what bad desires have done to you. You on your own. This was something you were ministering to people. But because of that uncontrolled desire, see where you got it from. So, keep it that way. Keep it supernatural. Keep it in the spirit. Look at evangelism. Evangelism, thank God, we said that Tuesdays we go out. But where is the supernatural element in evangelism? That element. Supernatural. In your evangelism. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. Peter lifted his voice, verse 15 and 14, with 11. But what happened before? When the day of Pentecost came, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, verse 4, and spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So there was a supernatural element to what he did. Acts 3, verse 1 to 6. They had raised from a crippled state that man at the beautiful gate. Then they preached the gospel. Acts 4, verse 30 and 31. The place where the people were shaking together and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Acts 5. The shadow of Peter cast on the sick and those who were possessed, they were healed. And then great numbers were added to the church. Acts 6, Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost, verse 8, and full of power, spoke the gospel to men. Acts 8, Philip went out to Samaria and preached Christ, verse 5. And the people who went out gave heed to the things that Philip spoke, seeing the miracles that he did. Acts 9, Ananias, going on his way, Jesus appeared to him, and Ananias said, yes, Lord. and showed him about Saul of Tarsus, all supernatural. There can be supernatural seeing and knowing in evangelism. Miracles. You must always retain the supernatural element of reaching the unsaved. Let's observe a few things. Very simple. Before you go out on evangelism, before you set out to go and preach on the streets, do you sit back and pray? I'm not saying you prayed in the morning. I'm not saying you are praying in your prayer group or you are praying as you are driving. You are about to go out. Then you commit the activity in this way to prayer. You see, if you keep going out like that, after a while, it becomes a religious duty. Commit it in prayer. You want to go and check somebody in the house, follow up. Before you left, Father, I pray for Brother James. I pray in the spirit for him. I pray that as I share God's word with him today. I'm not saying the one you prayed yesterday or the one you prayed last week. Just before the activity. What is that prayer doing? It is keeping the supernatural element in view. Pray before it. You have to lead prayer in church. The way I was taught to lead prayer is that if they ask me to lead prayer in church, I will first pray about leading the prayer. That's how I was taught. You want to lead singing? Oh, they put your name there. Lara Akinseye is going to sing Jesus I Love You So. So she just sits there, she sparks out, saying, Jesus, I love you so. No! Pray. That's how I lead men and women to raise their voice in adoration to Jesus. Their hearts will be full of gratitude. They are full of the Holy Ghost. And the wordings of the song ministers to them. You should pray about it. Pray about it. Pray. Pray about your evangelism. Pray about your follow-up. Pray about it. Contend for it such that you keep it before you all the time. I'm giving you direct instructions. Pray about it. It's not religious to pray a lot. It's not, when I say religious, I mean religious in a negative way. It's not religious, it's not a sin to pray a lot. Pray about it and pray a lot about it. Contend for it. You can start relying on yourself. You have a zonal meeting, or you have a fellowship meeting, because you have your notes. You've already written your notes. You have left your workplace, or you left your house, just dash their param. No. You are getting confidence in the flesh. Confident in the flesh. It's a work of the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. When I taught you praying the Holy Ghost, I told you one of the primary reasons of praying the Holy Ghost is for the cause of the gospel. Contend for it. Contend for it. How often do you fast? Not long, for example. To say, well, I teach every Thursday. I teach every Tuesday. Those days, I'll observe fasting and I'll observe times of prayer during the day because I'm teaching in the evening. Maybe 6 a.m., 9 a.m., 12 noon. I just observe consciously praying for that meeting. Don't get to the point where you now treat
very holy things with irreverence. Just go there, preach, and go.
No.
Oftentimes when we pray like that, we'll get the right illustrations as we are teaching. Oftentimes when we pray like that, there'll be things you will say by word of knowledge in the midst of teaching. Oftentimes when you pray like that, there are things you will just know in the midst of the teaching.
See in that terrain. See in that realm.
Pay the price for it. The price may be to wake up more often. The price may be to stay up late more often. The price may be to fast more often. The price has to be paid. I told you, there is nothing that is this discipleship and following Jesus that does not have a price to it. Stay in the Spirit. Stay in the Spirit. Stay around things that trigger the gifts of the Spirit. Stay around it. So contend for it. You're a pastor, a fellowship pastor. You are ready in the public view. You cast out demons. You raise the dead. What did Jesus say to Peter? Satan desired to seat you. Of course. On how many occasions did you see Satan around those guys? Because he had sent them out. They were known. And you can never whip the devil in the senses. Let me tell you your weapons. Your weapons are in the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. The power of the Holy Ghost. So you contend for it. Keep it supernatural. What did I say? Look at my clothes. Keep it supernatural. Keep it supernatural. Keep it supernatural. Keep it supernatural. Never allow, tomorrow I talk about pride. Never allow pride to enter your heart. The greatest propensity of the flesh is pride. The greatest propensity, that is, what the flesh wants to do the most is pride, self. Stay in the Spirit. Intend for it. Go for it. It can be big. Almost 70 years in ministry. Remain on the edge of the things of the Spirit. On the edge. Do you know today, I try to listen to Brother Hill every day. There are prophecies I will listen to. Maybe it's teaching. Maybe teaching about healing or faith or something. Or any subject. Right, recently I was listening to something he said, my life and ministry. I will give a prophecy. Years ago. And that prophecy was like he was saying it now. That's somebody really full of the Spirit. That should be our pursuit. That we remain fervent. Very fervent. May you never get to a point where rejoicing in the Spirit expires for you. When laughing in the Holy Ghost, because something you will mock at, or is that ridicule? How will that happen? Keep it supernatural. Never, ever associate with anybody who talks down on the supernatural. On the leading of the Spirit. On the things of the Spirit. Don't. As a pastor, follow your heart. Follow the leading of the Spirit. As a disciple of anybody,
do the same thing.
I close by saying this. Learn to practice Mark 16:16-18
regularly.
17-18. When last did you cast out a demon? Don't let it be too far. When last did you lay hands on the sick? Do something tonight. Write down how frequently you want to lay hands on the sick. And keep to it. How often do you want to speak to sickness and disease? How often do you want to speak to the works of darkness? How often? He says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, he says, they cast out demons. They speak with new tongues. If they render these and not hurt them, they take up serpents. They lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. I leave you with these words tonight. Keep it supernatural. Keep your pastoring supernatural. Keep your follow-up supernatural. Keep your evangelism supernatural. Keep your prayer life supernatural. Keep it that way. Keep it supernatural. Pay the price. Pay the price. If the price is honor, where you honor, because honor is also a price. Honor means to acknowledge the grace of God upon people without making any regard to their humanity. That's honor. Where you exalt grace above humanity, you are walking in honor. Honor is a price. Honor is a price to pay. Walking in personal holiness is a price to pay. Praying always is a price to pay. Staying away from ungodly religions is a price to pay. Being devoted to lives is a price to pay. Having a consistent prayer culture is a price to pay. Because for everything you do in the spirit, there's something you are not doing in the flesh. It's a price to pay. I leave you tonight with these words to build upon them. This convention is a convention of instructions where you hear specific instructions. You're a worker because you're a believer and because you have the Holy Ghost. Because you should yield to the Holy Ghost often. So, I want you tonight, before you leave or you maybe sleep, because you come up early tomorrow morning, because you want to be done by 8:30 in the morning. I do this a lot. Whenever I have a reason to seek a correction from God, an exhortation, I sit down, I write it. Then I write my decisions. This is what I will do. Do that. Every day, every week, I'll pray. I was talking to some of my friends, I said, my younger friends, I said there was a boy like that, I mentioned a guy. I said, in those days, he was the one that took me, in fact, let me say the story very well. He took me to a friend's house. They were both classmates. So, to the guy's house, who now eventually became a very good friend. I said, they prayed there a lot too. That sometimes they can pray for 18 hours. I'd never done it that long before. Just to be there. And we did. In fact, we prayed for about 24 hours that day. We did some fasting. I remember we used to call him prayer something. And we were praying for nations of the world, praying for revival around the world. For some reason, I told my friends, my younger friends a few weeks ago, I said, interestingly, he's not like that again. You don't even know he's the same person. That is the difference between just being inspired by people and besides those people, have your own personal consecration. So come rain, come shine. You stay on that path. Brothers and sisters, let's keep it supernatural. Ensure that the supernatural is not an option in the background. Supernatural is not a last resort. The supernatural is something in your everyday life. You pray in the Spirit. You walk in the Spirit. You are open to know and see things in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Just stand to your feet. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. Son, stand to your feet. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. We contend for the supernatural. We keep it supernatural. I keep my work supernatural. I won't begin in the supernatural and result to the flesh. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. From tomorrow, as you go check up a brother, a sister, on Thursday, you go out to preach in that marketplace, in the bus, in that campus, in that hospital, on the road, you go supernaturally. As you are writing the names of your members of your fellowship, you are open to what God will say about that name or that name. There will be some names on your list. You just see them becoming stronger in your heart. Lord, you say, pray for that brother. Go and see that person. Be open to that. Keep it supernatural. You want to leave prayer? You want to leave worship? Keep it supernatural. Give yourself to the things of the Spirit, not periodically, but regularly. Contend for it. Give your entire being to it. Are there any strange desires? Money, career, sexual desires, entertainment, movies, worldly music, pleasure, that are now overwhelming.